The North American Olympic table tennis trials were held last weekend in Cary, North Carolina. The sport is huge in parts of Asia and Eastern Europe, but it barely makes a ripple here. In fact, only one American is a full-time professional player. His name is Barney Reed. WUNC reporter Dave DeWitt attended the trials, and he has this profile.
Barney Reed is on a roll. After dropping the first game of his first match in the Olympic trials, he's come roaring back. His topspin backhand is working, and he's bouncing on his toes. But with each point lasting just a few seconds, fortunes can turn quickly in table tennis. And they do again for Reed. His shots start landing an inch too long, and after he completely whiffs on a forehand, he looks at the table in disgust. And then he sees it, a scratch. He immediately puts his paddle down and heads for the official.
I'm a player, and I have rights. And the rights that table is an imperfect table is not my fault.
The officials huddle, but decide not to change tables. Incensed, Reed loses nearly every point remaining in the best-of-seven match.
Table or no table, I lost the match. The Canadian player, he played better today. Hopefully tomorrow I can, you know, raise my level. But, I mean, I just think some of the rules, just because they are rules, doesn't mean you have to follow them. You know, it's like a stupid rule is still a stupid rule.
This is Barney Reed, talented, headstrong, John McEnroe with a rubber-coated paddle. But that's not the whole picture, says his friend and fellow competitor, Michael Landers.
On the table, everyone changes. I mean, everyone's trying to win. It's the Olympic trials. They're just trying to get a spot, secure their dream. And people shouldn't judge other people based on their behavior on the table. And people should know that Barney's just a great guy.
Landers, at 19 years old, is the latest prodigy in American table tennis. 15 years ago, Barney Reed was that guy. This country's best hope to make it big and turn a basement pastime played by 20 million Americans into a revenue-generating sport. He was young and charismatic. He played with Conan O'Brien on TV and against rappers in Vegas. Then, in 2002, Reed was banned by the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency for performance-enhancing drugs. Reed says it got into his system through an over-the-counter supplement from GNC. In 2008, he was hit with another one-year ban, this time for marijuana. He says he has a medical marijuana card at home in California. His dad, Barney Reed Sr., is a former board member of USA Table Tennis and has been at his side through it all.
There's been many changes over the years since he was a little celebrity, a young celebrity, and in a small sport. So, I mean, he's much more mature now, more focused, less distractions.
But Reed is still an agitator. He's recently led an effort to organize players and demand a bigger piece of the small table tennis pie.
Our sport right now has no light at the top. I mean, you know, every other sport has professional leagues. They have, you know, avenues for players to make money. Our sport is more interested in raising money. Our people that are in charge, they raise money for their own personal vendettas of going to China for ping pong diplomacy.
Now at 33 years old, Reed travels the world, playing wherever he can and winning whatever money is available. He and his girlfriend sell table tennis t-shirts on the side. He drives a 17-year-old Geo Prism he got for playing an exhibition at a car dealership. He's also become a mentor to the younger generation of U.S. players.
Well, because I didn't have that when I was coming up. When I was their age, the top players never did that for me. And, I mean, that's just not the way the sport grows.
Growing the sport means playing in the Olympics, and Reed has one last shot at being the only American to make it. On the last day of the trials, Reed is battling training partner Timothy Wong for that slot. Reed quickly loses the first two games, but wins the third. He takes a big lead in the fourth and appears on the verge of tying up the match. With the score 6-1, there's a furious rally. Reed crushes several left-handed topspin smashes in a row, but Wong, from 20 feet beyond the table, returns each one with lobs that soar 5 to 10 feet higher than a nearby basketball goal. The last one looks like it's heading off the side of the table, but a ferocious side spin brings it back. It ticks the edge of the table and shoots straight to the ground. Reed throws up his arms and looks to the ceiling. He loses 9 of the next 12 points, and a few minutes later, it's over. Wong wins, and Reed is heading home.
I mean, I'm looking at 2016, you know, even hungrier now. I'm just going to keep training, keep playing, and, you know, living the dream.
Reed is back courtside an hour later. Wong defeats a Canadian opponent in the final, largely ceremonial match. Reed is the first one to rush the court, leading the other American players in picking Wong up and carrying him triumphantly on their shoulders. It may not be his victory, but for Reed, he wins when his sport does. For Only a Game, I'm Dave DeWitt. Dans la tête.
You're listening to Only a Game. As the Stanley Cup playoffs slide toward Mother's Day and then Father's Day, our listeners have responded to the dangerous and illegal hits that occurred in the early going. One of the more blatantly objectionable of them came courtesy of Rafi Torres of the Coyotes, who leveled Marian Hossa of the Blackhawks in Game 3 of their first-round playoff series on April 17th. Torres, who has a history of headhunting, was suspended for 25 games, not quite enough for John F. Riley, who wrote, "Torres left his feet, and Marian Hossa was carried out on a stretcher. This guy is poison. Forget game misconducts. He needs to face a career misconduct." Our stadium-themed show last week irked Mark Mayle, a WBUR listener. He contended that we should have included more about what he termed the socialized debt, privatized profit mentality that has gripped our society. On our Facebook page, Paul Head wrote that his favorite sports venue is Clinton Arena, a 2,000-seat facility that the Clinton Comets of the Eastern Hockey League can pack with 2,500 fans. Carolyn Roosevelt voted for Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama, where, quote, "there was always a chance of somebody hitting a ball all the way to Memphis if it landed in a passing freight train." Last week in my conversation with Charlie Pierce about Jamie Moyer becoming the oldest pitcher to win a Major League game, I mentioned Satchel Paige, and this provoked Michelle Brooks, who hears the program on WITF in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to suggest that we should further investigate Mr. Paige. And yes, if we could get a whole theme show out of just one player, it would be Satchel Paige. R.W. Tolbert emailed to say he felt Charlie Pierce had been flip in his comments about how longtime broadcaster Vin Scully had missed a Dodgers home game due to illness. "A little respect, please," wrote Mr. Tolbert. "There is serious concern the 84-year-old broadcaster will not be heard again. Happily, Mr. Scully has returned to work. Long may he thrive in the broadcast booth of the currently resurgent Dodgers." Lots of listeners email or call us with story suggestions, and Charles Eldemir got in touch this week to remind us that the World Series of Birding is coming up, and he should know because he lives on Sapsucker Woods Road. You can't make this stuff up, and given his interests and his address, Mr. Eldemir should probably follow us on Twitter at Only a Game Radio. He and you can also find us on Facebook. Contact us through onlyagame.org or leave a message on the listener line at 617-353-1860. It's 22 and a half minutes before the hour.